Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome the many listeners that we have, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme this week four experienced and talented players of the game who once again are going to show their expertise as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And seated on my right, we have that ever popular and original comedian, Paul Merton, and sitting beside him, we have that veteran player of the game, the witty Clement Freud, and seated on my left, we have that engaging and lovable comedian, Graham Norton, and seated beside him, we have the delightful and clever comedienne and writer Jenny Eclair. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Harlequin Theatre, which is in that cultural oasis in the centre of the delightful town of Red Hill. What did you think of this? And we have a red-hot Red Hill audience in front of us, dying to get started. So let's begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject in front of me here is bling. Tell us something about bling, a very modern phrase, in the show starting now.
Well, it's a word that's come about in the last 10 years or so. I suppose bling means a lot of jewellery, over-festooned with the stuff. So it's dripping from your ears, your chest and other parts of your body.
Jenny Eclair.
He said your three times. I thought I'd let it go when it was just twice. But on the third time, I thought, why? Why should I? Oh, it's only the first round, isn't it?
Well, it is a tough challenge, but it is an accurate one, Jenny. So we have to say, for a correct challenge, you get a point, you take over the subject, which is bling, and you have 50 seconds starting now.
I've got nothing against bling, it's just sometimes I prefer to keep things classic. A simple pearl necklace around my throat works every time. I think it depends what sort of person as to whether one can get away with bling. Lady Mayor and Mayoresses, those chains, they're a bit blingy, aren't they, eh? Black wrappers, they can...
Paul Charles.
We did have an
Yes, you did.
Yes, we did have an Yes, so he's getting a tough one back. And Paul, you have a correct challenge. A point to you. 30 seconds still available. Bling, starting now.
Brian Ling was my best friend at school. What an incredible chap he was. He had trained a wombat to play table tennis in the dark. And what an extraordinary thing it was to see, because every Saturday you used to go up to Mr. and Mrs. Ling's house and you'd say, is Brian's home nearby?
Clement Charles.
Yeah, Brian's and Brian.
No, it's a clever ploy playing the game. And, 15 seconds, Paul, with you, another point starting now.
If you drop a selection of dinner plates out of a window, the noise they will make if they land on pavement is bling, because there's something inherent inside that particular piece of crockery that makes that noise, and you know what it is.
Graham challenged.
Ooh, repetition of noise.
Oh, could be.
Yes, indeed there was. Sharp ears, Norton. And you got in with only 1 second to go. Very clever. You haven't won many friends, but you've got the second. And you've got a second on bling starting now.
I could talk about bling or...
So, at the end of that round, Paul Merton and Graham Norton... Oh, by the way, in this show, if you don't already know it, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. So, Paul Merton has two, Graham Norton has two, Jenny has one. And, Jenny, will you take the next round? The subject is brothers-in-law, Jenny, starting now.
I've actually only got one brother-in-law, 6'2" in his stocking feet, grey hair, about late 60s. I'm lying, he's only 52.
Graham challenged.
What was that about?
Well,
there was a hesitation thing going on.
And then I said he was 62, and I stumbled. Because I thought he'll kill me.
Well, I'm sorry, you've said it now. It's going out all national, going out all over the world now.
What's his name?
His name's Sir Michael.
What is he, a pair of underpants? What is all that?
He's a High Court judge.
Is he really?
Yes, which is very useful when I'm in a court on another trumped-up shoplifting charge.
It's just as well, given his name is Sir Michael, because it's hard to be a builder or carpenter with a name like that. What pretentious parents? We'll name him Sir.
Graham, you had a correct challenge, so you take over the subject of brothers-in-law. 53 seconds, starting now.
It strikes me that brothers-in-law are one of the least perky bits about getting married. I always think, bad enough you have to deal with your own family, but you have to deal with someone else's.
Oh,
I know what I did.
Shall I tell you again?
No, yeah, go on.
To deal with.
To deal, yes. So, Jenny, you've got the subject back. You have 40 seconds still available. Brothers-in-law starting now.
I see my brother-in-law most days when he walks round the corner to pick up his bags.
And Paul challenged.
Repetition of brother-in-law.
Yes, because you said the subject is brothers-in-law, and you said brother-in-law before.
Well, I think we can see whose side the audience are on.
Just realising that the experienced players of the game are very sharp at picking these things up. 35 seconds for you, Paul, on brothers-in-law starting now.
It was a famous comic novel by...
Ten-minute challenge.
I haven't said anything for a while. Also, there was hesitation.
It was hesitation. So, Clement, you've spoken now to some effect. You got a bigger laugh when you didn't speak, but...
There's a lesson there.
32 seconds available. You tell us something about brothers-in-law starting now.
I can't remember how many brothers-in-law I have, but...
Hesitation.
I think it was.
Yeah,
too.
So do I.
Yes. So you've got it back, a similar hesitation. 28 seconds, brothers-in-law, back with you, Paul, starting now.
It was a hit film in the 1950s, starring Ian Carmichael, and I believe also Nicholas Parsons was in that movie, wasn't he?
Yes, right, yes, Paul.
Hesitation.
I know, but he stumbled on Parsons.
Yeah, I suddenly remembered your performance.
It was as good as that applause. Yes, it was one of the biggest roles I've ever had at the cinema.
That's right, yes.
Yes, it did very well.
Yeah.
Great fun.
Will they be having you back at any point?
Well, I'm still waiting. It was about 40 years ago, so I'm...
Well, that's an indication then, isn't it?
Yes. Clement's getting itchy, so we better get moving. Brothers-in-law is with you, Clement. 21 seconds, starting now.
I'd like to mention a few films of the 1950s, in respect of which the producer, director and...
Jenny Challenge.
Deviation, only because I thought the subject was brothers-in-law, and he's just talking about films of the 1950s, Nicholas.
But brothers-in-law was a film of the 1950s.
Oh.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Was that the one you were in?
Yes.
Who
was in it?
Ah, that one.
It was in my raw youth. And I had a very romantic...
that kind of film, was it?
Well, not very romantic. I had a very romantic role, but it wasn't as raw as that. No, we didn't. It was much more delicate in those days. So, Clement, an incorrect challenge. You have another point, 14 seconds. Brothers-in-law starting now.
I think I'll leave it where I've been.
Flawless challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. He left it, and you came
stopped,
in.
Stopped, yeah.
And
stopped.
11 seconds. Brothers-in-law starting now.
It was perhaps as a radio adaptation that it came into its own. Richard Briers played the lead character. Roger Thursby, I think, was the name. And what a fantastic...
Yes, Paul Merton again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now increased his lead. He's ahead of Clement Freud in second place, Graham Norton, Jenny Clare in that order. And Graham... Your turn to begin. And Jenny's collapsing with laughter at the moment. I have to explain these things to our listeners because they can't see it. And, Graham, it's how to keep warm this winter. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I think Red Hill is a lovely place. But it has to be said, if you want to keep warm this winter, perhaps the quickest thing to do would be to leave it. Yes, I... have just returned from Cape Town, where I found God had left the central heating on. And it was very nice indeed. Get on a plane. Go to the southern hemisphere. That is the best way to keep warm this winter. Or, alternatively, much excitement, pause. Yes, get a dog. I just did. Oh, it's lovely. His name is Bailey. He's a labradoodle, yellow in color.
So, Paul, your challenge.
Repetition of the
Yes.
You can't. I sort of walked into that one, didn't I?
No. You can't do this sort of Right. So, Paul, you've got the subject. You have 22 seconds available. How to keep warm this winter, starting now.
If you're an Eskimo, then keeping warm in winter is essential. What you have to do is make sure that you have all the snow around you heated to absolutely room temperature. Then you sit near a cup of water. And what I do is I make sure that my overcoat and jumpers and the central heating system are all on at the same time. It's the only way to do it. If you've got a log fire, chuck some...
So, once again, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? And the subject is cholesterol. Something that affects a lot of people at different times. Cholesterol. 60 seconds, starting now.
I never quite understood what cholesterol was, other than you should aim to have a low cholesterol count rather than a high one. I believe...
Jenny challenged.
He hesitated.
I think he did, yes.
No. Yeah, he completely ran out of anything to say.
Well,
Oh, I've just realised I don't know what anything about cholesterol. I know.
It's a tough subject. But you've got it, because you had a correct challenge, you have a point, you have cholesterol, you have 50 seconds starting now.
I'm far too young to worry about the nuisance of cholesterol, unlike Lulu.
Graham challenged.
Sort of deviation from reality, really. I know it's cruel to do it with an audience, but somebody had to tell her.
No, on the basis that at any time you should be concerned about cholesterol, and at any time it's useful to have it checked.
Thank you, Dr. Parsons.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, my father was a doctor, and in fact, when I talk like that, I sound like my father, actually. No, I think that was a correct challenge. So, Graham, you have the subject of cholesterol.
How awful is that?
No, it's not awful. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what age you are,
no.
It is good to be aware of cholesterol.
Yeah,
but I'm only 29.
Doesn't matter, darling. And when you are 39, perhaps you'll go and get it checked. But you don't need to wait. You know. Someone has challenged. What was that? Who pressed the buzzer then?
It was when she said 29, I felt the impulse to ring again.
Graham, 47 seconds, cholesterol starting now.
Eggs are full of cholesterol, which leads me...
Clement challenged.
Not full. Egg yolks are full.
That's right. Well done, Clement. Yes, there's a man who knows his food talking.
The albumin. The white stuff, the albumin.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, I just thought I'd like to say the word albumin. Yeah.
Well, that shows that you really are well informed, and Clement has got in there with 43 seconds on cholesterol starting now.
Steroid alcohol made by the liver is what cholesterol really is, and why we should worry about its height or lowness is beyond me, although Nicholas Barson's father was a doctor and presumably died the way elderly people's fathers do, which is why they are no longer here, let alone appearing on Just a Minute at Red Hill, which was not a good idea in the first place.
Small challenge.
Have we strayed from cholesterol?
I think we have, onto Dr. Parsons and Red Hill and... cholesterol, right. 16 seconds with you on cholesterol, Paul, starting now.
Basically, it's made in the ear, and it travels down the throat and then onto the collarbone, where it rests for about 4 or 5 years, picking up dirt from the atmosphere. If you do watch your diet, eat lots of fresh fruit, then you will be guaranteed to lower the rate of cholesterol...
Right. So Paul, once again, was speaking as the whistle went, and it's increased his lead. He's way out ahead of Graham Norton and Clement Freud, equal in second place, followed 1 point behind by Jenny Eclair. And Paul, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is what every teenager should know. I don't know whether you should know more about that, but tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
Spots don't last forever.
Please stop talking.
That's it. That's all they need to know. They need to know anything more than that.
Right. So, Jenny, you've got him with 58 seconds to go. Tell us what every teenager...
This should be easy for Jenny, because it's only recent memory, isn't it?
Yes. What every teenager should know, Jenny, starting now.
Every teenager should know their mother is always right. That's why when we say take your coat, bag, phone, purse, the other things that you need... Oh, please let me play.
Oh, Paul.
It's a new invention, the coat, bag, phone, purse, that I've not heard about.
So what is your challenge in the
world? Well, that was it, but then Jenny moaned in the middle of it. It killed the gag completely.
Oh, right.
So, hesitation.
Well, yes, you can have her for that, because she did say
She did.
Mm. So, Paul...
Umbrella, I was saying. Umbrella.
You can have a bonus point for your struggle to get out of that. But normally, when you're talking about that particular, when you're talking about Bronnie, you don't say umbrella.
It's a very posh one. It's hyphenated.
I can only give you one bonus point. Paul, you have a point, and you have 48 seconds starting now.
Be imaginative, read good books. The person you're desperately in love with now will not be the only such individual in your life. To know that outside... what was that word? There you
go. Chairman challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, that was a hesitation.
It's his teeth.
39 seconds for you. What every teenager should know, starting now.
What every teenager should know is that the square on the hypotenuse... is equal to the sum of the squares. Squares.
Oh, squares and squares.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's right. He's played the game a lot. Yeah, it's a way people get caught out by that one. Clement, incorrect challenge. 31 seconds, what every teenager should know, starting now.
On the other two sides. Also, Y equals MX plus C is a piece of information without which teenagers would feel deprived and often do. I'm glad the location of Red Hill is something available to nearly everyone sub the age of 20, because there's no buzzinger place in the outskirts of London than this magnificent district between Gatwick Airport and London Victoria.
So the audience kept him going on the subject till the whistle went game. That extra point, he's moved forward. He's a bit stronger second place than before, behind Paul Merton. Jenny, we'd like you to take the next round. Ah, a good subject for you, Jenny. Sisterhood. As the sole representative of the distaff side on this show, would you talk on that subject starting now?
This is when meant to be when women are... No, it was just...
Oh, Graham, give her a chance.
It was a hesitation there, though.
It was a hesitation, yes.
My tights are all twisted.
But, Graham, I gave you the benefit of the doubt on the cholesterol one, because when Jenny was speaking, so can
remember,
you...
Remember, Jenny's going through puberty.
So can you be generous and give her the benefit of the doubt?
Of course I
and
can.
Let her have a go, yes. Because...
I can't remember...
Give Graham a bonus point, because not only did the audience enjoy what he did, but also it was technically a correct challenge. Yeah. Jenny keeps the subject, but no points awarded. Sisterhood, starting now.
Sisterhood is when women... I can't say women! I don't want to do this one anymore. I can't even say women.
So, Graham, your buzzer went first again. So, at last, you've got in on the subject. 56 seconds. Sisterhood, starting now.
Sisterhood was one of the teachers in my religious school in Ireland. She stood out from the other nuns because her habit was made of leather. What a strange creature she was. Sisterhood, as she squeaked her way down the corridors. She spent a lot of time in the basement. I don't know what was happening down there. Oh, she looked flushed when she came back up for PE. Sisterhood was... many things.
Is she still alive to hear
yes,
this?
Yes, she is.
Oh, right. I hope she writes to you. Jenny, you challenge first.
Just a tiny hesitation.
Yes, a definite
I can't believe you want the subject back.
I don't. try and say women.
Okay.
Right.
All right. And, let's see if you can.
32 seconds. Jenny, sisterhood starting now.
Ladies are meant to be nice to each other, but frequently aren't. I found in my huge experience as both writer and performer that the nastiest criticism heaped upon my head comes from the mouths and pens of girl types. I don't know why this is. I think we're all witches under the skin. That's what sisterhood is. Just a coven of seething, nasty, fiendish females who pretend to be nice but actually aren't. That's the kind of gang I want to belong to anyway. I couldn't think of anything worse than belonging to a sect of sisterhood.
So Jenny Eclair, with some help from her friends here, was speaking as the whistle went, and her sisterhood also kept her going. So she has actually leapt forward, and she's now in second place, only 3 points behind Paul Merton, and 2 ahead of Clement Freud and 3 of Graham Norton. And Graham Norton, we'd like you to take the next round for starters. It's Top Dogs. Tell us something about Top Dogs in this game, starting now.
You probably don't know this, but recently there was an addition to my household. It was a dog called Bailey. A Labrador met a poodle, and they loved each other very much. And they made a Labradoodle, and now it lives with me. RSPCA camped outside, but they haven't got in yet. No, it's firmly ensconced in my kitchen, with a big pile of things for it to play with, and food, which sometimes I remember to give it. How it likes me then. Otherwise, not so keen. Did I tell you its name was Bailey? I did, it was a repetition. I'm guessing like that.
Yes. Paul, you challenge.
Repetition of Bailey.
And Bailey, yes, 24 seconds. You tell us something about Top Dogs, starting now.
I remember the first year I entered a dog at Crufts, and it was the most extraordinary experience because it won Best of Breed. And ever since then, I've had some kennels out there in the Reigate area, and if you hear howling early in the morning, it's me tending to the various dogs that I have there. My favourite cross is between a Yorkshire Terrier and a Camel. I call it a Tamil. It's a magnificent creature. He's got 2 humps and very long hair. And you can send it down.
So Paul, taking us into the realm of the surreal, kept going to the whistle away and gained an extra point, has increased his lead. And Clement, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is wigs. bit of an unkind subject to ask you to start with, but tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Fornication. Fornication like this.
Take the point off me, give it to Clement, let him keep going. I'm so sorry.
So he led you into the trap,
yes,
did he?
Yes,
right.
Like a fool.
So Clement, you still have the subject, wigs, and 57 seconds starting now.
Wigs are a political party no longer in common usage, having been overtaken by Liberals, Democrats, Conservatives, and Socialists. Wig was spelt W-H-I-G, as opposed to a hairpiece, which has the same 3 letters, without the second one.
They were rightly applauding your ingenuity in struggling out of that, but Jenny pressed her buzzer, and did you have him on?
Teeny tiny pause.
No, a definite pause, Jenny. So 35 seconds, wigs with you starting now.
Do you know, I've got such lousy hair. I've often thought, just get a wig, woman, and then I could be a spy. That'd be great. Can you imagine it? I'd have a brunette wig. Then I'd pretend to be a gypsy girl dancing in firelight. Oh, yes, how sexy I would be. Yeah.
Poor challenge.
Well... It's a judgment call, isn't it?
In fairness, it was a question. How sexy would I be?
Yes. Yeah.
And we all decided in our minds what the answer to that question was.
Dancing gypsy girl.
I don't know. I think Jenny, with the right wig and everything, you could have been extraordinary.
It's not too close to the fire.
So, Paul, an incorrect challenge.
Okay.
But we enjoyed your interruption, so give him a bonus point for that. You've got a point, Jenny, for interruptions. 21 seconds available. Wigs starting now.
Shepherd's Bush Market will supply you with any number of wigs, nylon mostly, in multitudinous colours, yellow, orange, black, green, grey, brown, purple, all sorts of shades under the sun. Green, did I forget that one?
Graham, the janitor.
No, you didn't. You don't.
At the pace at which this show goes, you don't want to recap like that. Jenny. And Graham, you got him with 4 seconds to go. On wigs, starting now.
Men's wigs are terrible. Why do they look like a car seat cover made of fun fur cut up on a head?
Right. So, Graham Norton was then speaking as the whistle went, and we have a situation here where Graham and Clement are equal in third place. Jenny's just ahead of them, and Paul's just ahead of her. So as you go into the final round, it's Jenny, we'd like you to take it. Oh, this is good for you, Jenny. My fitness regime. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
My fitness regime has fallen to rack and ruin. What a shame. Thank goodness this is radio, and most people can't see what a gelatinous heap I have turned into. The only time I do any exercise these days is when I get furious. The other day, someone gave me a parking ticket. I hopped, ladies and gentlemen, up and down for 20 minutes, shouting and spitting and doing swearing. It was magnificent. When I'd finished, my calves were so much firmer. In the olden days, I used to go swimming, but I gave up when I couldn't beat Duncan Goodhue in my local pool. This is a true story. I thought, well, if you can't thrash an Olympic athlete, what's the point in getting into the water, eh? So I just stopped, and then I took up yoga, which I thought was easy. Actually, it isn't, so I started cheating. And I was very mean with my yoga, because...
So, Jenny Eclair, who hasn't played the game quite as much as the others, and was keeping a nice distance away from the microphone, I think, kept going till the whistle went for the whole minute without being interrupted. She gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for non-interruption, so she gets 2 points at the end of the round. Which puts you, Jenny, equal in second place with Clement Freud, just 2 or 3 points ahead of Graham Norton, but 2 or 3 points behind Paul Merton. So at the end of the round, at the end of the show, we say, Paul Merton, this week, you are our winner. Thank you. We do hope you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Jenny Eclair, and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped with the score. She's blown her whistle with great aplomb when that 60 seconds elapsed. And we thank our producer, director, Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we are very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Harlequin Theatre in Redhill, who really seem to have enjoyed themselves. Cheered us on our way. From our audience at Redhill, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our team, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!